This is Keep On Cooking, a podcast for people who love cookbooks and want to know more about the authors. It's also a great place to get a weekly dose of culinary inspiration to keep things pumping in the kitchen. So grab a cookbook and keep on cooking. I'm Dustin Harder, and this is Keep On Cooking. Hello, and welcome to Keep On Cooking, the only podcast dedicated to plant-based cookbooks. I'm your host, Dustin Harder, and anything he likes to do is either immoral, illegal, or fattening. It's my husband and podcasting pal, David Rossetti. How you doing, darling?
I've been attacked.
I mean, everything I like to do is also immoral, illegal, and fattening, right? Those are the joys in life.
I mean, truly. I mean, in moderation.
How you doing, dear?
I'm good. How are you?
I've been so much better.
Oh my gosh.
Than I am today.
Yes.
But I've been worse than I am today.
Bless your heart.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, everyone listening, I had a hernia surgery about a month ago. And just as I was about to get back up and running this last weekend, I got the flu real nasty. So we're coming at you fast and furious here trying to get this intro out so we can keep on cooking. Yes, posting the goodies.
Keep on looking.
And my nurse Rossetti here has been so good to me. I'm not always the best patient, though. I think I was I've been pretty good.
That's up and down.
Some days
are better than others.
I've had some meltdowns.
I hate being sick. I was like, no one likes it.
Well, but now I'm at like a month of sitting.
Yeah.
And I had one work thing that I had to travel for this last week, which probably guessing that's where the flu came from. Because think about it, I wasn't really out in the outside world I wasn't in the outside world for like 2.5 weeks because I was inside sitting and healing. And then I went on this work trip. And now I got the flu right after.
And what have we learned? Don't do work.
Work is
bad for your health.
Work's bad for your
health. That's what we've learned.
Well, and what's even worse is I took a PTO day on Friday to sort of take care of myself and do a little self-care. Like, because I thought I'd be up and running. I'm like, I'm going to go run some errands. Do the things. So I did like half the day.
Yeah.
And then halfway through, I was like, David, things are not right. Things are not right.
And then he was in the bed.
Oh my gosh. And then Saturday morning, just unpleasant. And you took me to urgent care.
I did.
I got some medication. So anyways, blah, blah, blah. I'm on the mend. Grateful to have a husband that takes care of me and a family here with our beautiful dog and our beautiful cat who have also sat by my side.
Correct.
And grateful to have a body that is healing. So Amen. Let's turn it to gratitude. Be happy about it. And we are here today to talk about the best veggie burgers on the planet, revised and updated, more than 100 plant-based recipes for vegan burgers, fries, and more by Joni Marie Newman.
Now, Joni Marie Newman describes herself as just a regular gal who loves to cook, especially for friends and family. Self-taught and always learning, she spends most of her spare time in the kitchen. When she's not in the kitchen, she really enjoys knitting, painting, wasting endless hours on the internet. Yes, she is brave and reads the comments.
That's what she says.
Bless her heart. She also likes traveling, reading, and swimming.
Now, I'm going to go off script here a little bit because Veg News caused a little stir lately. Ooh. They recently released a list of the 100 best vegan cookbooks of all time. And y'all, it caused some drums on the internet.
Not for you. You were on it.
I was on it, but I'm not, I haven't posted about it because there's some people that were not on it where I think we're all kind of like, how the heck are they not on it? It's a list. They did a list. That's all I can say, but it's interesting. Joni's on it, and I think it might be this book, and it's a worthy book to be on it. You know, it's so popular that they did a revised and, edition.
Yeah. Always a good sign.
Yeah. So I do want to point out that, you know, I think some of the list is valid. I don't know. How do you really get to the 100 best vegan cookbooks of all time when so many have come out, really? Yeah, I mean, that's really why I bring it up, to be like, that's a hard list to make, you know, and I can understand why people felt certain people should have been on it, or they themselves should have been on it, and they spoke up about it. So I support, you know, everyone's feelings on it, of course. I just think it's a really hard list to tackle. I mean, really.
For sure.
But I also think when you're tackling that list, there's some no-brainers that absolutely should be on there that I think were not on there. Yeah. So anywho, and the same token, I can stand here and say, hey, I'm grateful to be on a list. So, hey, you know, but this book is on there, I believe, or one of Joni's books, as I'll mention. She has many. She is a California native. She creates delicious and animal-free delicacies for the world to enjoy through her food. She hopes to help people to understand, as she says, that it is not necessary to murder or torture another living creature in order to have a tasty supper, which, of course, we're on board with, Joni.
Absolutely. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Joni is the author of over a dozen celebrated vegan cookbooks. A few titles include Vegan Go Nuts, Cozy Vegan, and The Meat-Free Kitchen.
Yes, and I actually covered Vegan Food Gifts by Joni on episode 61 of Keep On Cooking. So if you want to hear more about one of Joni's books in depth, you can check out episode 61. I love this book.
It's just a great book. Vegan it's food a great gifts. Idea.
It's all these fun things to make for of vegan food, of gifts you can give, like popcorn baskets, and there's like a margarita basket. There's just all these different baskets. There's a nut basket. There's like a breads basket. Like anything you can think of where you're like, and we've done that all the time where we've been like, ooh, maybe we'll give this food gift. And sometimes we don't have quite the execution of it. She takes you from like soup to nuts. What's that mean, soup to nuts?
I don't know.
That's a phrase, right?
From soup to nuts, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That doesn't really make sense to me.
Someone, I'm sure there's some reason for
DM
it.
Us and tell us, what is soup to nuts? But she does. She's got like labels in there to like tag things with that you can either photocopy or cut right out of the book. Like lots of great fun ideas and vegan food gifts on episode 61 of Keep On Cooking. But for now, here she is, one of the vegan OG cookbook authors. Please enjoy this interview with Joni Marie Newman. She is an icon. She is an American treasure. She is also the self-appointed queen of veggie burgers, but I must say that I also agree with that. Offering recipes and more at justthefood.com. Please welcome to the Keep On Cooking podcast, Joni Marie Newman. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Great to see you. Great to have you here. And it's justthefood.com, right?
That's right.
I love it. Well, we're going to start off with our icebreaker question here. What is your favorite movie genre to watch?
I'm hardly a movie buff, but I do like to zone out in front of like really stupid movies. If I catch Pitch Perfect on TV, I will watch it over and over again. Pitch Perfect 2, Pitch Perfect 3, Bring It On, Drumline. I mean,
Joni,
I watch them over and over again.
I was not expecting that to be your answer, and that literally samesies for me. I'm like a Legally Blonde, Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. Like, give me those movies over and over. Have you watched, you bring up Pitch Perfect. Did you watch, they did like a TV show of it with, I can't remember his name, but he plays the guy who's in the guys a cappella group. Anyway.
Was it a good show?
It wasn't. I watched like one episode and I didn't go back. I need the gals. I need all the gals there for me to be fully enticed by this 110%. And I get into those. I love part three when they do Toxic at the beginning. It's
of
like
course.
One of my favorite things. I love it so much. Well, okay. So we'll get together. We'll make popcorn and watch movies.
Perfect.
from what I could see, it looks as though you have 10 books released. Does that number seem right to you?
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay. All right. There's,
you know how cookbook life is. They take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and put it in a whole bunch of other ones too.
Yeah.
So I don't even at this point know how many of my recipes are out there, but of my own books, or mine with Celine or with Jerry, we did 10.
That's a busy decade. It seems like the last decade was a big book decade for you.
It was. It was before the whole world was writing.
I mean, truly, people are always like, oh, the podcast, how long? I'm like, listen, there are so many books out there for me to always talk about in the vegan landscape. It's not even funny. I mean, you were doing it. You're one of the OGs who was putting books out there in the vegan world before a lot of other people were, and we're so grateful for it. But how did it all begin for you? Was cooking part of your childhood? And at what point did you sort of shift into high gear with cooking? And when did veganism become part of it for you?
Yeah, so cooking wise, I sucked at it forever. like forever. I was just not good at it. My mom was single mom, so it was like macaroni and cheese and cut up hot dogs or tuna casserole with hamburger helper and stuff like that. So I didn't really get that at home, right? My grandma, a little bit, she did like casseroles and, you know, she's from Pennsylvania, so a whole lot of that kind of comfort food type tater tot casserole.
Yummy, delicious stuff. Yes. Yep.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But I like to think of myself as an artist.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Like, everything was like DIY for me growing up. My mom didn't want to buy me a Cabbage Patch Kid, so I made my own type of stuff.
Oh, I love it.
But as I got older and in high school, I became a vegetarian. My mom said, okay, but I'm not going to cook anything special for you. So I was just like eating French fries and sides and salads and veggies and canned stuff. And then as I got older, when I, you know, I was off and on vegetarian, and then I finally decided to go vegan. And I'd already started playing around in the kitchen because I was living with my my now husband.
Yeah.
And so we just, you know, we're starting to cook at home and things became less packaged and I was trying to play with things. And then he bought me Post Punk Kitchen. That was my, like downfall, I guess you could say, is I just like fell into the world of Issa and her online boards and, you know, making friends on the internet through veganism. And then I started being a recipe tester for other people's cookbooks.
Nice.
The first one I tested for was Joanna Vaught's Yellow Rose Recipes, which was an old school classic too. It was all Texas-based vegan stuff.
Ooh.
And that was awesome. And I tested for her and I was messing around blogging back in the day when people still did that. But then it just became more increasingly about food. I wrote my own first cookbook, which was called Cozy Inside, which I self-published, which is terribly laid out. And I did it on PowerPoint. Like I made it as a PowerPoint slideshow, downloaded it to a PDF, uploaded it to some self-publisher thing. And that was my first cookbook. I stand by the recipes, but the like the layout and the whole like,
yeah,
it's more like a good old school zine than a
cookbook.
Then I got an email that said, hey, You wanna write this book, 500 vegan recipes from the publisher? And I was like, this is a scam. You're like,
what?
Yeah. But I guess back then there weren't that many of us doing what we were doing.
Sure.
So there was only a handful of like vegan bloggers to reach out to give cookbook deals to, and I was one of the lucky ones.
Oh,
so
I love it.
Great.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's so interesting the way that all unfolded for you. And I'm curious too, when you talk about Post Punk Kitchen, was there a first cookbook for you that you own, like a first vegan cookbook do you own that sticks out for you or one that you cooked from the most?
The very first one that I got was the Native Foods Cookbook by Tanya Petrovna.
Yeah.
Back when I first went vegan, that was the only vegan restaurant around, right? Yep. And I'm lucky enough to live close enough by to where I could go and visit. And she served my food to me. And I was like, oh my God.
Yes.
And I was like, talk to me about cashew cheese. Talk to me about what you're doing. Talk to me about all these things. So I learned a lot from her cookbooks, for sure. And luckily for me, I was able to work with her in Veg Fests and become friends with her. And she's just such an inspiration. So I learned a lot from her. And then of course, like all of Issa's books, you always go to those. She was like the master.
Do you have a favorite Issa book?
The original Post Punk Kitchen.
Yeah, the original.
That's where I like started cooking for friends. I started going to potlucks. I started making things for people other than myself, which made me think, oh, this is something, right?
Yeah.
And there's community as part of it.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. That's great. Well, as we've mentioned, you have several books and we featured one of your books already on the Keep On Cooking podcast. Listeners, you can hear me go through one of my favorite Joni books in detail, Vegan Food Gifts. I think it's just such a creative idea to give people these things they can make for people, like in the line of talking about going to potlucks and things like that. Such a great way to be like, no, it's vegan, here, try it, you know? And that's on episode 61, A Practical Guide to Amazing DIY Vegan Gifts You Can Give for Any Occasion. And today we're going to focus on your book, The Best Veggie Burgers on the Planet. Now, the title is pretty self-explanatory, but can you give our listeners a little summary of what they will find in the best veggie burgers on the planet.
So this is the updated and newest version. The original version was literally written out 101 veggie burgers, because originally it was going to be called Just the Burgers. Cute. To go with like my website, Just the Food.
Yeah.
So the publisher said, let's go with the best. I'm like, wow, that is a bold statement. But okay, let's do it. And so I had originally tried to like divide different burgers based on different flavors from around the world. Mm-hmm. But with the new and updated version, we broke it down into like, what are these burgers made of? There's like a meaty chapter, a bean-based chapter, a seitan-based chapter, a, you know, so it's just a little bit of everything. If you don't do soy, or if you don't do gluten, or if you don't want your veggie burger to taste like meat, which, you know, I guess some people don't want their veggie burgers to taste like
some
meat.
Some want it to taste like veggies, I guess.
So there's a lot of those too, but pretty much the idea sprung from my head that you can turn anything into a veggie burger. Like anything.
And absolutely.
I started making veggie burgers with like messed up other recipes. Something didn't come out, so I would just chop it up into a bunch of pieces
and make it a burger.
It all together and make a burger.
Oh, so, I love that.
Yeah, I'm always a big fan of just telling people, hey, you know, almost all your mistakes will at least be edible. So just get in there and have fun, and you can turn it into something you can eat there, you know, with very little waste. So just go for it and have fun, make a mess.
That's so true. You can always turn them into something. And now that you're saying that, I think without really thinking about it, I have had mixtures before that have like gone awry, and I'll be like, oh, I'll just make like a meatloaf out of it, or a meatball or a burger. You know, I just wasn't even thinking, but that's totally a great way to sort of just like make magic out of anything, essentially. And would you say, so from the first time this was released, so 2011 was the first release, and the revised and updated that says just got better, a little sticker on it that says just got better, that came out in 2019. Are the changes in it that we're seeing it broken down by the basis of what is in each burger? Or like, what would you say the changes are in the revised version? You may have already, it sounds like you might've touched on it, but.
There's a lot of changes, not only the way it's organized, but also a lot of new recipes added in, a lot of old recipes removed.
Sure.
Added a, you know, a bunch of sides, and also added air fryer instructions. Cause I know that that's much, you know, a lot of people like to use their air fryers.
Yeah.
You don't have to heat up the whole oven. So I added that into there. Just updated techniques. Aquafaba came into being.
Love it.
You know, so, and then the whole fast food chapter is new. So that was not part of the original one. So the whole recreating fast food favorites.
It sounds like it must have been so much fun. I never thought of this like on a revised and updated version, because this sounds very expansive. I thought maybe you go in and just tweak a little this or that. It sounds like you really get to revisit this fantastic book you already had, and then go, okay, but what's happened in the last like 8 years or so, 7 years? And like, let's really take a look at it and tear it apart and really make it better, essentially.
Yeah.
So that's so cool. I love that.
Know what happened in that decade?
What happened?
Impossible and Beyond.
Yes, that is so true.
Did not exist when I wrote the original book. And when they came to me to say, let's rewrite this book, I'm like, no. Do people even want to make veggie burgers anymore? You can get them at Carl's Jr. or Burger King or Fat Burger or anywhere.
Right. So. Well, it's amazing. I think, you know, I mean, and this is a whole other podcast when I open this can of beans here, but people, you know, there's people that adamantly dislike the, you know, Beyond and Impossible burgers, and they prefer their veggie burgers. So this book is perfect for them, because this really gets into the bits and bobbles of it all. So you really give it to them. And let's get into it. The best veggie burgers on the planet, revised and updated, more than 100 plant-based recipes for vegan burgers, fries, and more, just got better. You start the book out with, well, listen, you give us from chapter one, you're talking about how to use this book with guides, with a guide to tips and tricks and troubleshooting, everything from tips on cooking methods, from baking, frying, air frying, as you mentioned, and grilling. You cover the icons that note if a recipe is soy-free, nut-free, gluten-free, no oil added, and no sugar added, which is amazing. You go through details on kneading dough, shaping patties, and also freezing and refrigerating, really setting the home cook up for success. And you cover all of the ingredients used in this book to create the best veggie burger on the planet. When you think about tips and tricks for making the best burger, Is there a tip you can share with our listeners right now? Something where you're like, oh, this is ultimately going to like elevate your burger no matter what.
Freeze it.
Freeze it first and then make it. So that's
not, they hold together better. Sometimes veggie burgers just tend to like fall apart when you're cooking them. Just freeze it first. Then you have it ready to go anytime. You just don't even have to thaw it out. Just throw it straight in the oven or in the frying pan. You're good to go.
Oh, that's so good. Listen to that, everybody. Right off the bat, she's giving you tips and tricks. Good to go. Chapter 2 might be my favorite right away because we've got burgers for breakfast, everybody. Oh, items like the Denver omelet burger, fried egg tofu burger, and garlicky ranch potato burger take center stage. What is a go-to breakfast burger from this chapter for you?
Yeah, my favorite one in this chapter is the bacon and egg breakfast burger, which is actually like a dough patty that has like egg flavors and bacon bits mixed into it. I like that one a lot because you can make a whole bunch of them at once, store them in the freezer, have them ready to go when you want a quick breakfast, throw it on a bagel and head out the door. Or if you want to get fancy, make all the sides with it. But I like that one because it's like all in one. You don't have to layer it all up.
It's not a bunch of stuff. Things too, I find when I have a burger, sometimes it's got too many toppings on it, things fall out the side. So it's nice that it's all put into the patty with it. Can you tell me more about the garlicky ranch potato burger? It just sounds so yummy.
I mean, what isn't good about garlic and ranch and all that good, and potatoes and all that good stuff. So I think that like garlic can go with every meal.
Yes, I agree.
Everything. Yes. I'm letting you work on a farm now. So I get to get like fresh grown garlic. And fresh vegetables. So garlic, I just put it in everything.
Dream.
So anything you see in here that's marked garlicky, know that it's going to be flavorful.
It's going to have it.
I do like making fake ranch at home. Not fake, but like ranch flavored stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just a little salt, a little parsley, a little garlic, add some dill if you want, a little garlic powder, and mix it up with something creamy. Just make anything with ranch. There's a reason those Hidden Valley packets are added to like every TikTok casserole you can see.
Yes.
Ranch is good.
That's exactly right. And so is the ranch flavors they're mixed into the patty for this thing?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Oh, I love that. We've got other items to note in here. We've got the cherry oatmeal protein packed energy burger, quiche Lorraine burger.
It's a cookie.
It's a cookie. Do you put it on a bun? Do you put it on an English muffin?
You don't have to put
muffin?
It on a bun, but you make it in a big patty-like shape. I'm not going to lie. It's a cookie. But
that's all right.
I take some liberations with the words.
It takes the shape of a burger, so
that's
it works for me. I'm going to take it. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I guess you can put it in a donut. That would be pretty good.
I mean, I am not opposed to this. We also have the quiche Lorraine burger and the sweet caramelized onion burger. So lots of treats in the breakfast burger chapter. Chapter 3 is the traditional beefy burgers. Now, to you, what burger from this chapter would you say really hits the spot for someone looking for a burger that is similar in texture and taste to a burger maybe they grew up eating before they went vegan?
Yeah, that would probably be either the All-American Burger or the Really Meaty Burger. All-American Burger is a little easier to make. Really Meaty Burger takes a few more steps. That one's pretty like your standard beef burger.
Yeah.
And I actually reference those two burgers a lot in some of the other chapters where I say, start with this patty, add all this other stuff to make it into this.
It's just like a good solid base.
Yeah, the Really Meaty Burger and the All-American Burger, I think it's the Really Meaty Burger is on the cover that Kate Lewis shot. Okay. So that one is pretty meaty.
So delicious. So what is this burger on the cover, by the way?
She kind of did a conglomeration of all of them, but that it should have been the Big Mac, but it doesn't have the gratuitous bun in there. So she just kind of took a bunch of the different parts of all the different recipes and threw them onto that cover.
That's great. It's a nice little shining example then of the possibilities that exist. And listeners, this book has this chapter has items you're looking for when that you're looking for to like make the delicious beefy burgers that you want. Things like the All-American Burger mentioned, the steak burger, the meatloaf burger, Western bacon cheeseburger, and Sunday afternoon grillers. Perfect for grilling, which I love because often homemade burgers seem too delicate for grilling. So it's nice to know you've created one specifically for that. And I love nutritional yeast, and I know our listeners do too. Tell me about the Nucci burger.
I love nutritional.
Oh, piece. So good.
It's like, I keep a bottle of it in my purse. It's called my purse nooch.
So smart.
Right?
Do you remember, and I feel like this is the third time I've asked this on this podcast, do you remember the commercials where people pulled salad dressing out of their purse?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I do that too.
All right, good, good. It makes sense. Why wouldn't you? You make delicious dressing, I'm sure. And now you got the nooch and the ranch. You can just like put it all together on one salad. You're ready to go. It's a party in your purse, essentially.
It is, always. Got nooch in my purse. But the nooch burger, I love the nooch burger because it's just got a lot of that deep kind of umami that you get from nooch.
Yeah.
It's just something. Like you're eating it and you're like, this is really good, but I can't really put my finger on it. And that's the nooch.
That's the nooch. It's the something something.
Yeah.
So good. So good. Chapter 4 is the bean-based burger chapter. I work with a great group of registered dietitians at the Physicians Committee, and I know they would love this chapter. They are always praising beans, and beans are so good for us. So this is a treat to see a chapter dedicated to bean-based burgers. For someone who just buys this book, Joni, what is a burger they should make first from the bean-based burgers chapter?
So if they want to go really easy, if they're just really trying to just get started in this world of cooking burgers, the Cinco de Mayo burger is like takes 10 minutes to like put together. You're just throwing some ingredients together, smashing some beans. That's what's really nice about bean burgers is they're pretty easy to make.
Truly.
You just squish up some beans, like open a can, drain them, rinse them, save that aquafaba for something else, and just squish them up. Add some spices, add some flavor, and cook them up. And beans are great, you know? So that's like, if someone really just wants to get started, that's a really, really easy one to do. It's got soy chorizo in it. There's another one that's very similar, not exactly the same, but it's the Travis Loves Cilantro Burger, which is
okay.
This one is special in my heart because my friend Travis, I mean, I've known him since elementary school, and he was the first of our group of friends to pass away.
Oh.
He passed away from cancer. But he inspired this burger because, you know, when you're writing 101 burgers, you're asking all your friends, what do you want in a veggie burger?
Yeah.
He's like, I want cilantro and I want a lot of it. I don't want it on the top. I want it in it. I want cilantro. So the Travis Loves Cilantro Burger is one of my favorites in the whole book because it's like dear to my heart. But also for all the cilantro haters out there, I'm so sorry you're missing out. It's such a wonderful herb.
Oh, I love it. I want to make that burger now. Oh. I love that. Oh, well, there's lots of great options in this chapter. We also have the bean banh mi burger, Korean barbecue burger, falafel burger, and curried split pea burger. Oh. So many good things to make from beans and easy, just like you say. And chapter 5 is tofu-based burgers. I'm a big fan of tofu, and I always have some in the house, so I love turning to this when I first got the book, and I made the tofu chicken patty first. So tasty, and it came together with such ease with some veggie broth spices and a little bit of marinating time. If you had to wow a crowd with a tofu burger, what is a tofu burger you might pick from this chapter for that?
I think maybe the Strawberry Fields burger.
Yes.
It's something surprising, right?
Yes.
So it's got a strawberry-based barbecue sauce in it and then also topped with a strawberry salsa fresca. So it's like something different. Sometimes I think that when we're trying to impress non-vegans with vegan food, we think we want it to taste exactly like its non-vegan counterpart. And what I found, I teach a lot of cooking classes to non-vegans, just with how to use produce. And sometimes they realize, oh, this is just something that's delicious.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, I'm not missing anything because it's not trying to be something else. And I feel like even though this is a burger, it's not trying to be like a beef burger.
Sure.
It's playing with all these fun flavors, barbecue with strawberry salsas, jalapenos, like there's a whole bunch of fun stuff in there. And it's just like a big old fresh party in your mouth.
I
would probably serve something like that especially if I want to get someone used to tofu too. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
so fun and so exciting, and everyone loves strawberries too. Right. So it's great. It's great. Other notable mentions in this chapter might go to the crab cakes, tofu, beef patty, chow mein burger. And again, I just want to say that strawberry fields burger, everybody has to go attack it because it's exciting. It's different. And I think I love serving interesting things like that to a group of people because they're always like, wait, what? What? And it sort of takes away the, because sometimes if you bring some of the tofu out, everyone's like, oh, tofu, I don't know. It takes away from that. People just get excited about the creativeness of the actual item as opposed to focusing on tofu. And then you're like, oh yeah, and the tofu is delicious also, right?
Right.
So it's like an added bonus. Well, chapter 6 is grain-based burgers. I love grain-based burgers because they really create that hearty texture for a burger, I feel like. And this chapter really makes great use of grains from oats, barley, corn, and rice. What's your favorite grain burger to make from here?
So I'm going to cheat on this one because I can tell you my favorite, like, but it's not really grain-based unless you count like pasta as a grain. The noodle, savory noodle Kugel burger is like macaroni and cheese burger, basically. Oh,
sounds delicious to me. We can count that in.
So a million times over, you go to a restaurant and now they have like macaroni and cheese on burgers. But once again, I did this a really long time ago.
Yeah.
And there were no mac and cheese burgers. And I was like, ooh, we can do a noodle Kugel burger. And that's going to taste like mac and cheese on a burger. So this was one of my favorites. But if you want to go solid grains, the quinoa with the quinoa with the green peas in it. Where is it at?
Already so though.
It's so yummy. Where is it at? It's a super quinoa burger.
Very good.
It's it tastes great even if you don't make it into a burger. Before you go into the burger making section, you just stop with that quinoa paste and you could just eat it with a spoon. I have a hard time not eating this burger with a spoon before that I make the burgers.
Yeah, that happens to me too when I make it.
I love quinoa. But I get bored with it sometimes. Like,
yeah, sure. Most of the time,
you're just mixing it into a bowl or a salad. So this is a fun way to do it and make it into something different.
Yeah, mix it up a little bit. Spice it up. I have my eye on the jalapeno cornbread burger. Can you tell us more about that one?
Jalapeno cornbread. I mean,
yeah,
you just said it, right?
I mean,
what do we need to say about that? I love cornbread.
It really just is all there.
I love cornbread and I love spice. You can, adjust it up or down based on what you have tolerance for. If you want to do jalapenos, you can go with something more mild like an Anaheim. Well, we call them Anaheims in California. They call them Hatch in New Mexico. Hatch is much more famous, right? And they taste a little bit different, but almost the same as the Anaheims we grow in California. But like a milder chili, like a green chili, if you don't really want to go for the full jalapeno, or if you want to spice it up more, go habanero, go extra,
There
are some spicy peppers out there these days.
There are. I can't eat raw spicy peppers anymore. I get the hiccups right away. It upsets me tremendously because I love spice. But like if someone brings a plate of nachos to the table and it's got like a raw jalapeno on it, I'll be so tempted. Now, I did one the other night and I can feel it right away. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm going to get the hiccups. And I didn't get them the other night, but I was like, also I felt it and I was like, I'm not gonna chance it, I'm not gonna eat anymore,
right?
Give me a break.
Right.
But I will still venture, and I think when they're in something it's not as
when they're cooked or pickled.
Pickled I can do. So I'm still safe in some arenas, but there's so many great options in this chapter. We have the inside out sushi burgers, pintos and rice burger, Chinese takeout burger, and it's a great way to make use of those grains you have sitting around in your pantry. Everybody, chapter 7 is vegetable-based burgers. I love that you say at the top of this chapter, they're called veggie burgers for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And you get into it with burgers made from sweet potato, peas, mushroom, broccoli, zucchini, sun-dried tomatoes, and summer squash. What's your favorite vegetable to favorite vegetable to make a burger with?
Potatoes.
Yeah.
I love potatoes in all their forms.
You had a pause there. You were like,
Potatoes, because a lot of people just count that as a starch. They don't really count that as a vegetable.
I'll put it in vegetables with this. Fine with that.
I love it. So my favorite burger from this chapter is probably the Olifix and holiday burger, or what a lot of people in Europe call bubble and squeak in England, right? They call it bubble and squeak. And I did not know that until one of my testers told me. But
is that like a holiday term?
No, they use their leftover mashed potatoes, and they just squish it together with a bunch of other leftover foods and fry it up in a patty, and they call it bubble and squeak. And this is kind of the same version, but with your holiday leftovers.
So my question was to ask you about the All the Fixins holiday burger, because I don't, it just, yes, 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 and yes. All the yes to this, like, yes, checking all the boxes. That, and all this time now, I'm like, well, what have we been doing for years making just like a Thanksgiving sandwich when we could be like making a burger patty out of it?
So I started doing this after the book came out, but I'll share with you guys a wonderful update. Instead of frying it or baking it, put it in your waffle iron.
Ooh.
And make a holiday fix all the fixins waffle burger.
That's amazing. Donnie, I also feel like maybe we should collaborate on a book called Waffle It, where we just waffle everything.
Then. I waffle everything except for waffles.
I mean, literally, I love to waffle tofu. It's one of my favorite things to waffle because it just gets it all nice and crispy. And then you got little tender pillows in there of the tofu as well. It's so yummy.
In that tofu chapter of the burgers, the beef and the chicken patty marinades with just the round of tofu or whatever.
Yeah.
I always like to use those in the waffle iron too. Yes. It's such great texture.
So good. I love it. Everybody, get your waffle iron out. And if you don't have one yet, I promise you it's totally worth it. You have to buy one.
And if you don't want to buy a whole new electric type, you know, thing for your, you know, if you don't have the room for it, they make really cool stovetop cast iron ones that you just do right on there, and that will literally last you 100 years.
What do you use? Do you use an electric one or do you use?
I use an electric one, but I was just recently talked into getting a cast iron one, so I'm going to get one of those. The electric one I just have a cheap one from the store. I broke my good one that did the flip.
Sure, I hear you.
But I busted it in a move, so I replaced it with a cheap one, which is fine. I don't make waffles. Right. So as long as it's hot and it cooks right while I'm making in the waffler, I'm good with it. But I'm excited about getting that stovetop one.
I feel like we might be similar in that it doesn't take much to talk either one of us into buying a new kitchen appliance.
It's terrible. And I have no space. I have no more space.
I have zero space for it. And I'm like, but I want to make the thing. I got a homemade, like a tortilla press the other day. And I was like, it's so heavy and I don't need it. I was like, but it's flat and it fits right in. I'll fit it somewhere. It's fine.
I have one of those too.
Yeah, because they're delicious. A homemade tortilla is like nothing else. It's so yummy and so fresh when you make it. So good. We're going to get everyone else out there to buy all the things. Well, chapter 8 is Seitan based burgers featuring such hits as pepperoni pizza burger, which right up my alley, Jamaican jerk burger, chicken fried steak burger, jalapeno cheddar burger, and garlic mushroom and onion satanic stuffer. I feel like this is probably a very popular chapter in this book. What has been the most popular recipe you have seen people make from here, or that one that people have told you is their favorite from here?
The roll-ups.
Oh, okay. Tell us about those.
Well, the roll-ups is like, it's pretty easy because you're just making like a sheet of seitan, right? And then you're just filling it with whatever you want to fill it with. I give you a filling recipe in there, but don't let that limit you. You can fill it with anything you want. Then you just roll it up, bake it, and then you slice it into burgers.
So, oh, nice.
So it's cute too, right? It's got a little spiral inside.
Totally.
Technically a roulade, but you slice it into making burgers, but you can fill it with anything. And now there's so many fun cheeses and weird things that you can buy that are vegan. Like all these crazy, like blue, could you imagine making like a blue cheese bacon roll up?
Oh, right. Delicious.
So like
so
you can
good.
Add so many fun things in there now that you don't have to worry about following specific recipe once you get the technique down.
Sounds
so
like it might be a fun little appetizer too.
Yeah. You can make little
miniature ones. Yeah.
Ooh, so I think good. I put a couple of those in there where I'm like, take this and do it and give it as little appetizers, because that's fun little sliders.
Well, that's a cool thing about burgers too. So probably most of the items in this book, everybody, you can make them into, if you need a little appetizer, you can make little sliders out of them too. So I love that. Very versatile, this book. And chapter 9 is gluten-free burgers. Speaking of versatile, Joni, you really did the world a solid here offering up some gluten-free burgers. So great. What's your go-to gluten-free burger from this chapter?
Since I love potatoes, it would have to be the samosa burger.
Oh,
That's the first one on my list. I was like, oh, samosa burger. That sounds so yummy.
I'm really lucky to work in Irvine, California, where there are, it's a very large Indian community. Okay. So I get to eat a lot of really good food. And there are some samosas at this grocery store that I just go and I get them all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All the time. All the time. I just love samosas. So
potato,
like,
the filling, but yes.
To a burger, then you can put whatever kind of bread you want with it or not eat bread with it at all.
Yep.
It's really good.
So good. And the little veggies in there too, a little pop of flavor with everything. You also have black bean tamale burgers, masa masala burgers, and chorizo and egg burgers. So many great options in here to try, Joni. And chapter 10 is the fast food favorites chapter. If someone is craving a Baconator or a Big Mac, you have them covered. And so this was an added chapter, you were saying, and I sort of have the same question as I did for the Seitan chapter, but is there one from here that you've realized since it came out is a fan favorite from this chapter?
Big Macs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's such an iconic burger.
Yeah.
I'm from California, so people around here are loving the In-N-Out, the In-N-Out copycat. And I don't think people realize that mustard trick. And it's just coating your burgers with mustard before you cook them. And it just adds so much flavor.
And is that an In-N-Out thing?
Yeah, that's an In-N-Out thing.
Do they do that with all their burgers? Or do you have to order it that way? Because I know it's like a secret society in there. You got to like know some things in order. Like, and I'm always intimidated.
It's been so long since I've actually
eaten In-N-Out. I think I've done it once or twice. And each time I was like, I don't know what to do. Just give me a burger. Okay, bye.
I know. but yeah, adding the mustard to the patty, even if you're just making a Beyond Burger or an Impossible Burger, put some mustard on the outside of your patty before you cook it up with some onions, and it's delicious.
Had no idea.
But everybody loves Big Mac, so that's the most popular one.
Sure.
Plus, you can use that Mac sauce on everything, you know?
Right.
And put it, I make. So when you're only two people in your house and the other one in the house doesn't eat onions, peppers, mushrooms, or anything spicy, you end up with a lot of leftover stuff, right? So I had like thousands of veggie burgers in my life while I was writing this book and the revised version.
Yeah. But
all the sauces, right? I love sauces. So I was making Big Mac nachos. I was making Big Mac rice bowls. I was making Big Mac everything because the sauce is pretty tasty.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so interesting you say that about the other person not liking those ingredients. I thought I had it bad because my husband doesn't like mushrooms. Mm. But it sounds like you've got it. You're dealing with some more special requests even.
It's okay. To everybody their own. I'm not going to.
Oh yeah. No, it's more so like I always just cook my mushrooms on the side and then I toss them into whatever I want because I can't give them up. I'm like, I have to have my mushrooms. I got to have them. Sure. And I understand the not liking the mushrooms too. Yeah. You know, that's the other thing. You know, to each their own, exactly, as you say. Well, when you put this chapter together, you may not have an answer to this because it sounds you were vegetarian early on, but is there a nostalgic burger for you that you knew had to be in this chapter? Something you remember from your childhood or something having at a fast food restaurant?
Jack in the Box. Ultimate bacon cheeseburger.
Okay.
How terrible is that? It's like bacon and cheese and meat.
I mean, like America.
They don't even make it. I mean, they do make the ultimate bacon cheeseburger at Jack in the Box still, but they don't make it the way they made it before I was vegan.
Sure.
They used to have, like, it was a totally different beast back then. It had, like, this onion mayo and this nice sesame seed bun. And so it had the onion mayo, burger, cheese, bacon, nothing else.
Yeah.
And it was just fatty and greasy and salty. And I think that's what most people want when they are trying to eat eat in general, right? They want fatty, salty.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you don't need meat for that. You just need seasonings.
Yeah, that's so true. Did you ever have Hot-N-Out burger?
Uh-uh.
So I'm from Michigan originally, and I feel like it might have just been there, but the idea was literally Hot-N-Out. Like you could drive through, you'd order it, and they would have it for you within like minutes, right?
Okay.
But there was always a burger I got. Actually, I think I did a replica of this burger and put it in one of my books. But it was an olive burger, and it had like melted provolone, sliced olives, and mayonnaise, and that was it.
Nice.
I loved this burger. And I was like, it's just so basic, but it had the salt. It had the fat. Like it had all those things on it, right? But it was so simple. Gosh, I know I did put that in. I have to look at my books and I'll see where I put it. You know how it is. You forget where you put everything.
I used to always really like those tiny little cheap cheeseburgers from McDonald's too.
Yeah.
The tiny ones.
What were, are like in the Happy Meal or what, yeah, what are the,
like just those, yeah, little, just the plain, cool, simple cheeseburger.
Just the plain. I get what you're saying. It's just, it's like more bun than burger almost, yeah, Steven. Yeah. Yep. I get exactly what you're saying. Well, we've got lots of great things in this chapter. We have filet without fish. Now that's a Whopper, Crunchwrap Supreme, mac and cheeseburger. And then will you enlighten me? Tell me about the Cowgirl Bacon Cheeseburger. Is that the Jack in the Box one?
The cowboy. Let me look. I think that's the one I marked as my favorite in that chapter. So let me grab it here. It's a Carl's Jr. knockoff.
Their
Western Bacon Cheeseburger.
That's what I wondered. Okay.
Yeah, it was the Western Bacon Cheeseburger, which was onion rings, onion rings, barbecue sauce, cheese, bacon, burger.
Oh, I mean, hello, onion, yeah, rings. I love that. Okay. Well, chapter 11 is loose meat sandwiches. Now, I first learned about loose meat sandwiches when watching the show Roseanne.
Yes, that's how I, you
know,
I was
like, I don't know if I, sometimes I say this to people and they're like, I didn't watch Roseanne. They get real cranky about it. I'm like, I loved Roseanne. Yeah. I loved that show. And they opened the loose meat sandwich, yeah, shop, her, that's where, and I got sister, the idea. Okay, that's what I was going to ask you, what your first introduction was to loose meat sandwiches.
Roseanne.
That's amazing. Roseanne. What was the name of it called? The Lunchbox.
That something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, from what I remember, it was like a sloppy Joe without sauce.
Yes. Yeah. Just, yeah. Yeah.
Ground,
yeah,
beef.
They had a whole restaurant set up though for a loose meat sandwich shop. I'm like, yeah, y'all could have done a window and cut out some of your overhead there, right, probably, right, but okay. Well, I always love a Philly cheesesteak and you got us covered with that in here. And we've got sloppy Joanies and chicken salad Sammy and pulled pork sliders. Is there a recipe you come back to again and again in this chapter when you're wanting a loose meat sandwich?
Yes, the deli, the deli tuna melt.
Ooh, what's on that?
It's a tempeh based tuna, okay, salad.
Oh, delicious.
It's really good because it's really simple. If you don't like tempeh because you find it too bitter, just simmer it for a while and it'll mellow out the flavor.
Yep.
But in this one, you're not eating tempeh like that. You're crumbling it up into almost individual beans, right? So you, okay, want it, you're getting it all the way down and then you're mixing it with all the same stuff you would put in your tuna salad, right? Your mayo, your pickle relish, if that's your thing, your onions and all the chopped up little tiny veg in there, celery, whatever you want, really. You don't have to follow my guidelines. Make it however you want. But man, something about tuna melt.
Yeah.
Like grilled sourdough.
I agree.
Crispy, crunchy on the outside, squishy, gooey, melty on the, mm-hmm, inside. I mean, that's just tasty.
It's so,
it was
good,
one of my go-tos at Denny's when I was a kid, you know, when I tuna,
yes,
melt.
Yes, I get that. My go-to at Denny's was seasoned fries back in the day before I was vegan, seasoned fries with sour cream on the side.
Before ranch.
Good. I mean, I think I probably got sour cream and ranch because I'm not going to ignore the ranch situation. But a little tuna melt with seasoned fries, some sour cream, some ranch. We got all the things going on there.
For sure.
Chapter 12 gives us all the goodies we want too. It's the fixins chapter. Now, you've said you like sauce. We are a saucy family in this household. I almost always have my Caesar dressing in our refrigerator. And now looking at this chapter, I'll have some other staples in here as well. It really packs a punch and is sure to elevate any burger with items like nacho cheesy sauce, chipotle dipping sauce, Thai peanut sauce, simple pesto, garlic artichoke spread, strawberry barbecue sauce. We already talked about that, and Indian spice mayo. You have so many good ones to choose from in here. If you could build a burger right now, which fixin would you pull from this chapter to make it the perfect burger?
I do love the sesame sriracha, the creamy sesame sriracha,
ooh,
sauce.
Very good.
I literally put that stuff on everything.
Yeah.
So on a burger, on corn, on rice bowls, on everything. I put it on everything. I even got the people at work to start using it on everything. So,
so good.
Restaurant there, we use it everywhere. So it's just so, got a little bit of kick.
Yeah.
But not too much. It's creamy because it's mayo-y.
Yep.
But it's got that sesame oil punch. So it's like just,
It's just right. It sounds like it to me. It sounds like it's just right. So if you're saucy listeners, this is the chapter for you. Chapter 13, I was surprised, but then so delighted to see it. It's the buns and breads chapter, everyone. You give the home cook a how-to on making their own dough from scratch, which I just love. And no home cooks can be, I know they can be intimidated by bread making. What's the easiest bun to tackle in this chapter for someone going at it for the first time?
Ciabatta is pretty easy.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one. I hate baking. That is, I hate measuring.
And yet you tackled this chapter for everyone. Yes. Look at that.
Yes. The ciabatta one's pretty easy. They're all pretty easy or I wouldn't do it.
I love baking.
Can I put a exclamation point on
yes,
that?
Yes. I can see your eyes kind of rolled back a little. You're like,
oh, this chapter.
Just the thought of it.
No, but like, it's worth it because it tastes delicious if you're getting fresh baked bread.
Totally.
I am also lucky to live in a town that has a lot of great bakeries, so I can get fresh baked bread. The most versatile one is probably the soft white bun because that's going to go with any kind of burger, but the easiest one is probably the ciabatta bun.
Well, I've made some attempts before, so I'm really excited to see this chapter because I've wanted to make my buns from scratch. Whenever you say those sentences with buns in it, it just sounds funny. Toast your buns, make your buns from scratch. Buns, 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 everybody, buns.
Soft white buns.
Soft white buns, come on now. So I will say all these recipes for buns and breads are, they look pretty straightforward and seem to be foolproof. So listeners, don't be intimidated. Make your own buns. It can be very fun and very rewarding when you do. But also, you know, don't be afraid of the convenience to purchase either. But I love that this chapter exists. Plus, when you have guests over, if you can say, I made these from scratch, people are like, oh my gosh. It is a nice little elevation to add to your arsenal if that's your gig. Chapter 14, Joni, you're making sure you didn't leave everyone hanging and that our plates have everything they need to be a complete burger experience. This is the fries and sides chapter, everyone. Awesome offerings like smoky potato wedges, dill pickle potato smashers. I want to just stop this interview now and go make the dill pickle potato smashers, everybody. Get into it. Buffalo collie tots, crispy fried onions, and baked onion rings. Now, what's your absolute must-have favorite side from this chapter when you want to round out your burger experience?
I did really mark as my favorite the dill pickle smashers.
Oh.
I feel like we're on the same page on a lot of these.
Yeah, you and I are going to throw the best cookout ever, basically.
They're really easy. But honestly, probably what we make the most at home is macaroni salad.
Yeah.
It's easy. You can use up a lot of different things that you have in the fridge. I have some mac salad recipe in there, but you can get some mayo, some vinegar, and then whatever seasonings you want. Add whatever veg you have.
Yeah.
Mix it up with some macaroni. Who doesn't love a good macaroni salad? So that's probably the most universally loved side at your cookouts is mac salad or potato salad, corn on the cob. But I really do like those dill pickle potato smashers. And we make those a lot, not even with burgers. Sometimes we just make a whole tray of those and that's dinner.
Yeah, and that's plenty. That's good. Have you, did you have when Tabitha released her line, Tabitha Brown at Target, did you try the dill popcorn?
I didn't get the dill popcorn, but I did get all those sauces that she had in the little jars, and they're so good.
Oh, did you try the garlicky one? It was decadent and garlicky AF. I was like, whoa. Yes.
I think I remembered earlier saying that garlic is where it's at. So
it had to be really great for you.
And that little okra was so good.
Yes, we had that as well. Well, I think she's coming out with it again. They're actually going to carry stuff long term. So if you get a chance to try that pickled popcorn or the dill popcorn, I say go for it. Everyone, that is the best veggie burgers. Woo! Best veggie burgers on the planet, revised and updated. More than 100 plant-based recipes for vegan burgers, fries, and more. Just got better. Now listen, this is the part where I ask you to give me your book brag. And that is something that you're most proud of when it comes to this book. What's something you're most proud of when it comes to this book?
I am most proud of getting people to have fun with their food. I talk about it a lot. Use your hands, get in there, get messy. Make a mess. have fun with it. And this book really offers a lot of opportunities to have fun, not be too serious. I'm not a serious chef. You know, I'm self-taught and always learning. So I am very proud of the fact that I inspire people to have fun in the kitchen.
Oh, I love that so much. I firmly believe cooking should be a place of joy. And I often, I just taught classes at a cooking school where I was sort of surrounded by some chefs. And they always kind of look at me like I have three heads, because when I start my classes, I'm like, all right, everybody, let's have fun. And they're like, and I was like, just release and let go. And like, let's make some magic in the kitchen and see what happens. So I love that that's your book brag. And you've certainly done the trick with this book right here, The Best Veggie Burgers on the Planet. Everybody get this book. You'll have so much fun getting hands-on and getting dirty in here, making all the delicious bites. We're going to move on to your rapid fire round of questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Number one, favorite shape of pasta?
Macaroni.
Yes. Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes. I don't even make waffles with my flour. Pancakes.
I feel like you waffle everything but a waffle in your waffle maker, which I'm obsessed with. That's amazing. Cupcake or donut?
Cupcake.
Food on a skewer or a tiny spoon?
Skewer.
This one's deep. Would you rather never cook again or never taste again?
Never taste again.
I know. I don't even know what I would choose. Good for you. That was great. Okay. Favorite base for a homemade veggie burger?
Beans.
Okay. Because the efficiency and the easiness of it. Yeah. Favorite kitchen tool?
Immersion blender.
Very good. Celebrity we'd love to make a veggie burger for?
Rachel Ray.
Nice. Hot sauce or barbecue sauce?
Barbecue sauce.
And we did this a little bit with the sauce, but favorite burger toppings?
I love thick raw onion. Isn't that crazy? Like a thick slice of raw onion.
Red or white?
Both. Any.
But you're like any post, like, put them all in there.
Yeah. I really love Maui onions. They're so good.
Do you like, those are a little sweet, right? Are they a little sweet? Do you like tomatoes on your burgers?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I go back and forth with the tomato one.
I don't order it with it on, but I'll take a bite, and if I don't like it, I'll pull it off.
Is it the juiciness? For me, if it's like too juicy, I'm like, something texturally is happening for me here that I don't love. Yeah. And if I get a burger, like a vegan burger at a restaurant, and it comes to me like, you know, I'm a purist. Like, you talk about that little McDonald's burger. I love just the burger and the bun, some mustard and ketchup. Yeah. I love, love, love. Maybe a little pickle on there, but like not getting too crazy with it. I'll also eat an over-the-top burger, but if it comes to me in a restaurant with the lettuce, tomato, and the onion, I might take the tomato off more often than not. Hot sauce or barbecue sauce?
Barbecue sauce.
And then, oh wait, did we already do that one? Hot sauce or barbecue sauce? Yeah, okay. And then we did favorite, I backtracked in my numbers here. I got so excited about onions and tomatoes. Okay, favorite ingredient in general to cook with?
Nutritional yeast.
Favorite spice to cook with?
Garlic powder.
Very good, yes. Breakfast for dinner or dinner for breakfast?
I like breakfast for dinner, but I most oftenly eat dinner for breakfast.
That makes sense. I love it. Because you probably have stuff that you've been testing and then you, yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, you did it. That's your rapid fire. Good job. Please let everyone know where they can find you on social media and the internet.
Justthefood.com is my website. I'm Joni Marie Newman on all the social. Well, I'm not on all the socials, but Facebook and Instagram.
There you go. Well, you're not on Threads. Have you heard of the new crazy?
I've heard of it. Oh, I'm not on TikTok. I do think I have a YouTube channel, but I don't know if there's anything posted on there.
I hear you.
I'm an old lady and I'm letting the kids take that throw.
I am the same. I'm like, you have those threads. You go have fun with that. You go have lots of fun with that. Well, everyone go get a copy of The Best Veggie Burgers on the Planet, revised and updated, more than 100 plant-based recipes for vegan burgers, fries, and more everywhere books are sold. Joni, you're a busy, busy person. I appreciate you taking the time to chat today. Thank you for being a guest.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
This has been a Muzzy Cat production.